Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to the program. It's January 4th, 2018. Hope you're all doing well. Wherever you are listening, from anywhere in the world, you're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. The Omega Radio Network is traveling around the world, and the voice of many waters is actually being heard. I was up the other night and I couldn't go to sleep, so I just clicked on Omega Radio to listen to messages from Jake McCandless, Christopher Manti, Glenda Lomax, and I thought to myself, boy, that's pretty good. And I thought that Patricia was sound asleep, but she was awake, and when I went to turn it off, she said, leave it alone, that's really good stuff. And so we have on the Omega Radio Network a 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week broadcast of many different voices, and we want to thank God and give him praise for the work that has been done for the Omega Radio Network. This is a radio station that was built by three people, and of course by the support of our listeners that pray for us and at times even support us financially with the Omega Radio Network. So we are moving forward in the purpose of God, and we have been in a season of declaring that you have an assignment and a calling on your life to advance the purposes of the kingdom of God in this earth. And I thought it would be very interesting to read a prophetic word that was written some time ago, and it has to do with this moment. And we're going to have to balance the word out, okay? We're going to have to balance this word, but here we go. The time has come for the transfer of nations. It is time for the placement of a new regime. God is with the generation of the righteous, and he will cause to come to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Those who have been faithful to occupy until he comes shall receive the reward of righteousness and shall rule over cities in the millennium. Yes, the enemy of humankind's soul shall be cast into a pit for 1,000 years, and the nations shall be instructed in the ways of the Lord. The cataclysmic events that have been arranged and designed for this time shall make way for the righteous rule in the earth. The glory of the Lord shall flow through the nations of the earth as the knowledge of the Lord is taught. It is time for the righteous to rule. It is time for the righteous to reign. The wicked shall perish from off the land. Those who yield to the righteous scepter shall learn the law of the Lord and shall be brought into the kingdom of God. It is time, O saints, to take the dominion. The days of frivolity are over. The days of hiding in fear are gone. These are the days wherein the righteous shall be as bold as lions. Now is the time of promotion and placement. Now is the time when the Lord shall bring his Josephs, his Daniels, his Davids to the forefront of the kingdom. Yes, even his sons. It is time for the sons of God to awake. It is written that when I awake, I shall be like you. And this is that time when the sons of God are awakening to a newness of life, even a life that is filled with resurrection power. The power of their resurrection is that of being raised from the moral and spiritual decay of fallen humanity. Theirs is a life beyond the veil of their own humanity, having become partakers of the divine nature. This is the out-resurrection from among the spiritually dead. Through the power of resurrection life shall my sons take away the dominion from the beast in the earth and shall possess in its place. This power comes from that same spirit that raised my firstborn son from death and the grave. This same spirit and power dwells within my elect sons and daughters and shall cause them to come to their place of destiny in the earth. My sons have been ordained to rule the nations, for they are the overcomers in the last days that have attained to the prize of the high calling. There is a wisdom that comes from above that teaches us the ways of the Lord. This wisdom is teaching us now that the transfer of nations is taking place before our eyes, even as we speak. Some have categorized the end days, thinking that sequential events are going to take place, fulfilling prophecy, yet the Lord is revealing prophecy and the fulfillment thereof daily. The Spirit of truth is showing us how all things are shifting and yielding and becoming the Lord's possession. There were many in the days of Jesus that thought the Messiah would come a certain way, and so it is today that we think the Lord is going to fit into our paradigms, but wisdom teaches us to keep our minds open to deeper and fuller interpretation of the scriptures, allowing them to dominate the day. The rut of religion steals the ability to transcend the powers of the age and taking hold of the glory that is even now being revealed. Hallelujah. So there is a prophetic word of encouragement, exhortation, wisdom, and knowledge. And when I bind that to what we were talking about yesterday out of Hebrews and out of Timothy, where the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power of death, and that he abolished death, and that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And in the book of Revelation, that he has the keys of hell and death. He is the all ruler, the victor over all things. He has put the powers of darkness to an open shame, has defeated them and disarmed them. That's why some people say the devil has no feet and no arms, because he was defeated and disarmed. And truly, this is the victory of the cross, but the church has been ignorant of this victory and has continued to fight the enemy as though he has some authority and power. But in reality, in truth, the true authority and power has been given to the believer and has the right to exercise that power and authority over all the works of the devil. Now, that means that the church, you as an individual, have the victory in every area of your life. This does not say that the devil is not the god of this world. He is. He is known as the god of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air that now works in the children of disobedience, just like he did in you and I in times past. However, you and I have escaped his stronghold. We have come out of the prisons of darkness and ignorance and sorrow and depression, and we are now walking in the liberty of the illuminating light of Jesus Christ. We have been resurrected. We have come out from among them. We have been part of a spiritual resurrection. Okay, and so the truth is beginning to dawn that the authority of God, the authority of heaven, the authority of Jesus has been given to you and I who believe, who are part of the church of Jesus Christ. And so this is not a time to be fretting and fearful. It never has been. We've never advocated that kind of a spirit ever. Preparation, yes. God warned Noah, build an ark. Noah feared, but he didn't fear what was coming. He feared the Lord, honored and respected him, and did what he told him to do. That was it. So preparation is one thing. Standing bold within the nations with the authority of the name of Jesus Christ is another thing. Binding, rebuking, and casting out devils is part of our inheritance. Healing the sick, raising the dead, doing all the works that Jesus did is our spiritual inheritance. And yet this generation has been so darkened by scientific advancements and artificial intelligences and all of the different man-made humanistic machinery of things that have kept the nations in awe. And yet what God wants to do in and through the church will put the nations of the earth in awe. but the church has not yet stepped into it. But there is a baptism coming, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the heavens are opening. You and I are positioned under those open heavens to receive the outpouring and the infilling of what God is about to do in this time. Why? Because we go back a month and a half ago now, that God awoke the understanding of my heart and mind, and he made it very clear. I have work to do in the earth, and I'm about to rev things up, and I'm going about to accelerate things and speed things up. And so God was saying that he's going to do that in you and I, believers around the world. He's going to actually release a divine chemical that is going to quicken the processes of our inner being so that we are going to be more energized, just like Elijah, who ate that one meal and ran for 40 days. There is food from heaven that we eat, which is the word of God, which is the prophetic, life-giving, quickening, spiritual word of God that enters into our hearts, makes contact with the seed, waters it, and causes growth and interaction. So yes, there's a divine chemical being released into your body. Your body is made up of all kinds of chemicals. Your brain is nothing but chemistry. Think about that. I mean, people use drugs, they use chemicals because they're trying to get an interaction, they're trying to get somewhere, but they're going about it the wrong way. God has the chemical that is altogether part of his work and his labor in our lives that will quicken and activate within us things that have been dormant and dead. And so that element, that chemical, is the spiritual power of resurrection life. And it's ready to happen. Are you ready for it to happen is the question. And am I ready for it? Are you ready for a baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for an outpouring where the crystal clear waters of God will wash through your soul, cleansing all the debris of your old humanity away so that you have no memory of the past, but you'll have nothing but a focus for the future and what is right now, and that you'll stand under the bathing waters of regeneration, allowing for the Holy Ghost to cleanse you from the inside out, wash you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes, and then fill you with divine destiny and purpose and rigor and vigor and vim and all the beautiful things that come within resurrection power and resurrection life. Why? Why does God want to do this? To make you feel good? To make me feel good? No. It's because he has a job to do on the earth that's going to require supernatural energy and supernatural power. Because the powers of darkness have situated themselves over the nations of the earth and are very heavy. And so many people are trapped and suffocating beneath the bondage of these demonic spirits. So God is going to send something into the darkest prisons, and he's going to break out. This is a season of breaking out and breaking through that demonic hedge that has been set to limit you in your life and destiny and to limit the purposes of God. But God has work to do. Therefore, he's going to do something in you so that you're going to be able to fulfill what he's called you to do for his desire. My goodness, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it gets any better. And if God doesn't do it, if God does not do what we're talking about, he should not expect anything from the church, quite frankly. Now, some people say he's already done it, and I agree. But I also know that at times like these, there are fresh baptisms. In fact, in the book of Acts, in the upper room, they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But a chapter or two later, the Holy Spirit came again, and they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is an infilling that is coming that is going to be directed at accelerating the purpose of God, and our intelligence of the things of God is going to grow exponentially as well. Whereas right now they say we use 18% of our brain, and most of that is all confused anyways. But light is coming, rays of light are shining, illuminating light, and it's going to quicken our understanding. We're going to have revelation knowledge of the purposes of God. We're going to see things clearly, and it's going to be a bright, sunny day. Oh, I love what God is about to do. And the nations right now, the nations are under the spell of darkness. The nations are drowning in perdition. The nations are loathing in the corruption and defilement of their own humanity. Devils are interacting with human beings at a level that is so beyond anything we could even understand. But there's intimation between the human race and the demonic spirits, like in the days of Noah. And this is creating all kinds of corrupt behavior. And you're seeing that corrupt behavior legislated into societies around the world. You're seeing the perverse actions of demonic spirits manifesting in the mind of man because he has no covering. Mankind without God's protection has no protection from the evil spirits that are making their way into their souls, ultimately to damn them for eternal life. However, when one comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the light begins to dawn. And ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the dawning of a new day. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And so we need to get on with our Father's business. We're going to get on with our Father's business. Now, there's one other thing that I want to share with you. And this is another prophetic word that was written back around 2003. And this is titled Bright Clouds, Bright Clouds. Let this be a word of encouragement and exhortation for you. Bright clouds are forming over the nations. I have said of the wicked that they are clouds without water. I say unto the righteous that you are the clouds that I am gathering together in this day. You are the bright clouds. The brightness in you is the glory of my spirit. As each cloud gathers together with other clouds of glory, anointed, sanctified, and set apart saints, a storm begins to form. When I said that I would come in the clouds, I am saying that as the clouds are gathered together, the fullness of my presence shall appear. Where is lightning found? In the clouds. When I was taken up in a cloud, I was taken into an elevated place in the spirit by a cloud of witnesses. This was the cloud of heaven. In this day, the cloud of witnesses that are upon the earth are going to make contact with the cloud from heaven. The first cloud was the early rain anointing. This cloud that is developing and coming together is the latter rain anointing. I said I would come as the early and the latter rain in the third day. For those of you who have walked in the Spirit, who have pressed into my presence, you have heard the song of the Lord. You have heard musical notes that are beyond anything you have ever heard upon the earth. You have been instructed by a piercing voice, though it be gentle and soft, which has caused you to pursue me with all your heart. Two clouds, two anointings are coming together in this prophetic day, my day. From this day forth, you shall know that you are my clouds. You are the bright clouds, for the bright and morning star is arising in your hearts. The bright star is the same glory that I possessed while upon the earth, and the morning star is the sign of a new day. Children, I have laid out a course for you to travel. I caution you to study the path. I caution you to judge every word that proceeds out of the mouth of men. You can trust my word with your life, yet you must discern properly the truth revealed. Two evils will occur: a false perception, an exaggerated line of thought, and a misguided spiritual gospel will be preached. Secondly, the enemy will take the truth of the spiritual realities coming forth through the voice of my prophets and cause people to fear that they are, in fact, untrue. Wisdom and discretion must guide each one of you. Do not become so enmeshed with any man that you begin to accept everything he or she says. For a little leaven will leaven the whole loaf. You are moving too fast to have an accident now. Chew upon the revelation that is coming forth and realize that it is the desire of the Father to give you revelation and light concerning the times we live. The apostle prayed that we might receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that our spiritual eyes may be opened and that we may comprehend the greatness of God and his plan for each one of us. I have food to eat that you know nothing of, but it is for the mature. As you seek me with all your heart and put away the old man, you will come to my banqueting table time and again and be filled with life. Someone say hallelujah. Again, what is God doing? He's wanting to encourage his people at a very dark time in the history of the world. There is no doubt in my mind, according to the scriptures, that in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. There's no doubt in my mind that a total solar eclipse of the light is going to occur. And I believe what God is doing right now is that he is brightening the sun seven times. He's sending forth rays of brilliant light to bring illumination, understanding, revelation knowledge. Do you know the difference, by the way, between knowledge and revelation knowledge? Knowledge is epignosis. It's scientific. It's how we figure things out. I turn on the switch and the light goes on. But revelation knowledge is spiritual truth revealed. And that's the difference that creates intimacy. There are two times of knowing. Knowledge is where we get, you know, knowledge comes out of knowing. And there are two knowings. One, to know something is scientific. It's epignosis. But then to know someone, like Adam knew his wife Eve, is an intimate. And the revelation knowledge of God, the revealed spiritual truths, are given by God to create intimacy between God and his people. So God desires to have a very intimate personal relationship with you that's very real and alive. That doesn't just happen in your head. You could have the head knowledge all you want about God, about what he wants to do, but then there is the actual experience of that knowledge, the revealed knowledge in spiritual truth that creates an environment that increases our faith 1,000 times and causes us to, you know, just move on in the purposes of God because it's real. You know, it's the difference of, you know, saying I know what it's like to have a relationship with a person, but I've never really intimated with that person. No, you could have knowledge of someone, but not until you intimate, not until you have expression, not until you have intimacy, not until you, you know, have this relationship. Will it ever really matter to you? It'll never matter to us. And God is wanting us to have a relationship, and he's telling us the things that he's doing. You know, when I just read that last word about the bright clouds, it may sound a little bit ethereal, if you will, but it's so simple. The Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Acts was taken up in a cloud. And it says in Daniel chapter 7 that that cloud presented him, the cloud presented him to the Father, the Ancient of Days. That cloud was a cloud of witnesses. It was not a cumulus cloud. It had nothing to do with what you see when you look up into the sky. It was the heavenly host. Like in the day that Jesus was born, the heavens were open. The shepherds saw the multitude of angels. Well, that was at his birth. At his resurrection, those same angels came and received him. This cloud of the heavenly host received him and brought him to the Father, where he received his throne of glory. That's all in Daniel 7. And so will he come in the clouds again? Yes, but it's not the cumulus clouds. It is the heavenly cloud of witnesses that talks about in the book of Revelation that he's coming with 10,000 saints, tens of thousands of saints clothed in white on white horses, in the end of Revelation. But there's also a cloud in the earth. So you have the spiritual cloud of witnesses in the heaven. Then you have the cloud that God's talking about here on earth, the witnesses of God, the bright clouds, the brightness of the believers. And that light is in us. And what is that light? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how does this play out with the end time things that are going on all around us? God wants us to have wisdom when nuclear war breaks out. God wants us to have power when biological and chemical weapons are deployed. God wants us to be able to stand in the face of adversity when persecution and martyrdom come. God, in our ministry, God has never excluded preparation and persecution and war and tribulation. You know, he's never excluded that. We've been very balanced to talk about those things, but now God is in a season of wanting to express his desire for his people, and what he's sharing with you and I is his express desire to supernaturally charge us up and move us in the direction of fulfilling his purpose on the earth. And if you and I could ever get to that understanding, if you and I will ever come to a revelation that all this knowledge that we've been talking about becomes an experience where the things that were said now become a reality, that's our hope. Because when that happens, it would be like this. Let me ask you a question. Right now, within the next 30 seconds, if you received a phone call, a text, an email, a friend called and said, I don't know what happened. There were just $200 million deposited into your account. You have just received $200 million. Would that change your life? I bet you'd quit your job after you verified it, right? And as it's true, you find out it's true. I bet it changes your life. So if $200 million can change your life, but it can't change your nature, the $200 million cannot change your nature. But what God wants to give to the church is not $200 million. He wants to give 200 million spiritual blessings, if you will, meaning God is going to do something within our inward parts, going to transform our nature to be like His. He's going to accelerate our strength, energy, perception, ability to be able to do what's never been done before. Does God want to work through men at that level? Well, when Jesus came to the earth, did God do things through Him that had never been done before? Pretty much. I mean, not too many men I found ever walking on the water. Not too many people I found feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Not many people were healing the lepers, opening the eyes of the blind, casting out devils the way He was. Not too many people were doing these things, right? I think Jesus brought a revelation of what God wants to do in this earth through His people. Now, there have been moments when this has actually happened on this earth in the last 2,000 years. But we have been the generation where the darkness came in. From 1961, when the government of the United States decided to make war against Jesus Christ by removing prayer from schools, Bibles from schools, when we entered into the 1960s hippie movement, when the government began to pass laws against God, when Roe versus Wade developed in 1973, and the mass murder and execution of the innocent blood took place in our land, all the way up into the day that now we've legislated all this darkness into our society. Well, what is that? That means that the powers of darkness came in like a flood. The church wanted the limelight and the bright lights of man's admiration and therefore lost their spiritual ability to be a compass to the nation. They sold out for the goods, so to speak. And so the church went into all kinds of prosperity teaching and formulas. Meanwhile, corruption began to grow. Today, men are drowning in perdition and corruption. The church lost its ability to be that light and salt in the earth and exchanged it for all materialistic worldly goods. We know that happened. So consequently, darkness grew exponentially all over the world as America exported pornography, exported homosexuality, exported abortion through Planned Parenthood and the taxpayer dollars. So this darkness came into our generation, and we've been in it now for over 50 years. Over 50 years of darkness has been reigning in America. Today, our generation of young people don't even know the heritage of our country. That's how dark it is. They don't know anything about our heritage. They don't know anything, you know, that is righteous. Promote and tolerate everything that's unrighteousness, and they've been told that's what you do. That's how dark it is. So God is mercifully moving right now for the souls of men to be saved. If he could save 3 million Iranians and get them to convert, God will send illuminating light back into our nation before the great eclipse, known as the Great Tribulation, takes place. And at that time, folks, that's the damning time. When the darkness comes, when the Great Tribulation begins, now there's no turning back, because at that moment, it is a total blackout for 3.5 years, and whoever's name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will receive the mark of the beast, and their souls will be damned forever. But right now, I am believing in my heart that God is revealing to you and I that our assignment is to go out to the lost and bring the light of Christ to them. That's been the call of the church for 2,000 years, but we need to do it again. But we need to present to them the true Christ of Scripture. The next thing that we have to be busy about is getting and allowing the Spirit of God to do a work on the inside of us. I think these are important issues to talk about, and so that's why we're doing it. Anyways, we're having a conversation. It's 9:30. I'd like to open the telephone lines, and I'd love to hear from you. Bring some balance to the program. Say what needs to be said. But I know that God wants to change your life, and I know that God wants to change my life. And I know this is a time for the power of the Spirit of our Father to really begin to work in us. And so if you'd like to join me this morning on the conversation, come on in. I love this. I just got an email here. Let me see this. My brother D here. Let's see what he means by this. Brother Don, you're going to have to tell me what you mean by that. So we'll get him to call in here in just a little bit. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Don writes, the comfort zone is a beautiful place to be, but nothing grows there. Man, is that true or what? The comfort zone. So let me ask you a question. What you're hearing right now, is it putting you to sleep and like making you snuggly and want to get all, you know, cozy somewhere? Or is this something that's illuminating you, energizing you, inspiring you to look up and wait for that glorious outpouring of the Spirit to quicken you to get active to do the Father's work, whether it's evangelizing in Iran or anyplace else in the world or doing the things that God has called you to do? Let's take our first call this morning coming in from Pastor Ken Wagner. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today, and what's on your mind?
Oh, we're blessed, Father. Oh, Pastor, all the way through, there's no two ways about it. It's just a blessing to be with the Lord. Yeah, and I can't help but think of the things that you're talking about having us all do, the things that Christ has asked us to go ahead and do. And we really need to know him intimately to be able to go ahead and do the very things that he would have us do. Probably the best way I can answer that or reply to that, what you have asked, is in Philippians 3. I'm just going to read two verses out of here, out of the Amplified. It says, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it to be mere rubbish, in order that I may win and gain Christ, the Anointed One. That's out of the Amplified. And it really makes the point of what you're talking about, is that we need to know Christ intimately if we are to be the true Christians, to be able to fulfill the works that he has asked us to go ahead and do. And by doing so, we can be prepared to fight the enemy on all fronts.
Well, amen to that, Pastor Ken. With that being said, I want to read just a little bit more out of this prophecy, and this is for the saints of God. And again, this is the witness. You see, these are the witnesses to what is being said and what has been being spoken over the airwaves through many different people. Brace yourselves, for I am about to do what no man has thought or believed. A report comes from the throne, and a voice is heard upon the ear. To my sons, I am sending a revelation of my love that will propel them to heights that heretofore have not been attained. In my church, I am sending thoughts that have not yet been materialized in their minds, yet they shall know in their very comprehensive and all-inclusive soul that the reality of these thoughts has their origin in me. And that's what's been happening, folks, for the last month and a half. Particularly, God has been planting thoughts in your heart and mind about what he's about to do. Yes, I am declaring a new day. These thoughts will enlighten understanding in those I have placed at the front of my army, and they will have divine strategies revealed for the pulling down of strongholds. Prepare to laugh and shout and jump for joy for that which I am about to do. For many will come to a recognition of who they are in me and will skip forth like the calves out of the stalls. Many will suddenly have answers to problems they have had and will, like the great inventors, embrace the solution that will advance them into a glorious future. A fresh word is being spoken in this hour, and I am raising up a new intention in the heart of my people. There will be no returning to the former things. Out of the ashes shall arise a new path, one that many seekers have desired to find. This path is called the highway of holiness, and even fools shall walk thereon. Yet in the path shall no evil beast walk. This is a path that leads into the fullness of the kingdom. I say again that you will laugh and dance at the revelation about to be revealed unto you. You will mock those who have operated in powers of the dark and shall trample down all the evil intent of wicked men. Flames shall be blown out at the tables of the wicked. plans shall be frustrated. For I have sent forth legions of holy angels prepared for this time to frustrate the powers of darkness as I advance my people. Yes, I have a people whose light will not go out and whose salt is flavorful still. I have a city on a hill that cannot be hid, and there I abide still. New thoughts are coming to the body of Christ. Hope shall spring forth like the spring flowers, and great strides will be taken by my glorious church. Strongholds are being built and will remain established in the days ahead. These strongholds are refuges for my people, where a divine administration of my spirit will feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, and refresh the weary soul. These strongholds are securely guarded by mighty angelic forces. As each sojourner enters in, they will come alive again with renewed strength and vigor. Resurrection power will be administered to them, and a divine strategy and marching orders as well. These will go forth and demonstrate the dominion I have given and will lead militias into action against the powers of darkness. I am taking the land. Surely the enemy shall come in, but like a flood I will raise up against him. I am the Almighty God, the God of David, who broke in upon his enemies like a flood. I will break through where the dams have been built up, and I will reveal the workers of iniquity who have been quick to dam up the ways in which my people were to go. These ways shall be opened up as I break through with mighty power. The multitude shall pour in like a great downpour of rain. All things shall be filled up, and all resources shall abound. The prisoners shall be set free. They shall come from the north, east, south, and west. They shall come with their sons and daughters at their sides and will ask you to care for them. Men from a far country shall come bearing gifts and will lay them at your feet. It is the dams that have withheld the harvest, and there have been certain workers of iniquity that have been in the way and have been instrumental in stopping up the flow. These will be exposed, punished, and removed, that all things will flow. Yes, this is the day wherein all things will flow together. For this is the together season. I am gathering all things together. All things shall flow together. This is the great fear of the enemy. This is his nightmare, and so shall it be. Get ready. New thoughts, ideas, visions, and dreams shall be poured into all who call upon my name. For this is the time of the double portion. That which has been shall melt away and pale in comparison to what shall be in this, the new day. Again, Pastor Ken, more prophetic unction for this moment of what God's saying to the church.
It is, Pastor. It's right on. And I can't help but think of the analogy between a man and a woman that are dating to find out if they want to become one together in marriage on here. And during that time, we find out what each other has, what gifts, talents, abilities that they have, and whether it would be a match for each other. But the only way you can really know that is when you become intimate with that individual. And I'm talking about talk, understanding, knowledge of each other, what they think, what they feel, how they react to each other, and so on. Jesus at the end on here told us is that he has all the power and authority in that was given to him in Matthew 28. And he says, then go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. How are you going to do that if you don't know him, that you haven't delved into becoming intimate with the Lord and understanding him and being able to follow all the things that he's told us to go ahead and do? Without the power of the Holy Spirit in us, that there's no way we can do that. And it's through that intimacy with the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can really truly become one with him.
Well said. A scripture came to mind as you were talking again, that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Work while there is light, for the nighttime is coming wherein no man will be able to work. Right now, if people were to look up and see with their spiritual eyes, there's a great big sign in heaven saying, now hiring. And I believe that the Lord said the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And the Lord is now hiring, if you will, laborers to enter into his end time desire. We already know the end time desire of the wicked. We know what's coming. The night's coming. We get that. But there must be the hiring of the laborers. Now, how does God hire us? We sign up. We say, here I am, Lord. He does the rest. He gifts us, unctions us, anoints us, and appoints us to go and do what is of his heart to do. And so there's a moment, ladies and gentlemen. There is a moment in time right now. We're in it, where God is wanting to do something with your life. And I would to God that I could present to you the picture of what it would look like if there you were standing in your ordinary personhood, and all of a sudden a beam of light would come down around you, surround you, and get on the inside of you. And all of a sudden, like Moses coming down out of the mountain where they had to put a veil over his face because of the glory that was emanating out of him. So can you imagine if that happened to Moses under the old covenant, the light and the glory of God that would be emanating out of your life, energizing you? He was so energized, Moses, that he was up there for 80 days without any food. First 40 days, he came down. He went right back up again for another 40 days. 80 days, that's supernatural. God is wanting to do a supernatural work in you so that you could do what he wants to get done on the earth, because the nighttime's coming wherein nobody will be able to work. And you might say, well, if we're that anointed to do the work of God, how could we not just keep on doing that? You know, God has his purposes. There will be a people in the wilderness who are not going to taste death. There's going to be a people in the wilderness that will not be affected by the great tribulation. I mean, that's the book of Revelation. It's very clear. Not everybody's going into the great tribulation. The majority, yes. But there are people that are not going in. Pastor Ken.
No, that's right, Pastor. And that's something that we have to remember. You know, in real life, people strive to become the best they can be. They move on, they study, they are mentored, they listen to others, they gather information wherever they can. And by applying all of that knowledge over years and years, they become experts in their field. Is that any different from what we are supposed to go ahead and do as well, with Christ being his servants, being his messengers to go forth, his disciples? We need to gather all the information we can about him, and that only comes through intimacy with the Holy Spirit and giving us that knowledge and that wisdom that we need so that we can do the very things that Christ has asked us to go ahead and do. And I believe that's the essence of what we're talking about this morning as well, and what you're talking about, having that intimacy, having that knowledge of Christ and what we can do as his disciples when we get to know him.
Pastor Ken, when we look at what's going on in our world today and we see all of the evil, all of the corruption, all of the darkness, you know where that's coming from? It's coming from men's darkened minds. The powers of darkness, Satan, evil, demonic, wicked spirits have infiltrated the mind of man, taken over his thought processes, and have had him to do things that are complementary to the darkness. Now, if we could just understand a man or a woman with a darkened mind under the influence and power of the evil, dark lord of nations, Satan, and then another man under the influence of the light of the world, Jesus Christ, what you have is two different mindsets. You have a darkened mind and you have an illuminated mind. Now, the darkened mind has its own illumination of knowledge and reason and wisdom. That's the wisdom of the world, but it's still perverted. It's still weak. But a God man, a God woman, a man or woman that's been born again, accessing the power of the Holy Spirit, that light of truth comes on the mind. Now, in the dark world, what man is able to do is scientific stuff. But in the light of Christ, here you have the supernatural ability that was manifested in Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this day of darkness and light, what we're seeing is darkness is getting gross, light is getting brilliant, and there's like two minds at work that are totally contrary to one another. Now, we're watching what the darkened mind of man is willing to do, willing to accept, willing to tolerate, willing to advance, willing to marvel in. And now it is also time and fair and right and biblical that those who have the mind of Christ, which mind we have, will operate out of the influence, wisdom, understanding, and illumination, and clarity and brightness and happiness that that light is to bring. But there will come a time of a total solar eclipse, and that light will be, it will be darkened for a season. The darkness will never overcome the light, but this is the moment for illuminated minds to be enlightened by the Spirit of the living God to advance God's purpose. Now, maybe someone's out there going, well, that sounds highfalutin and sophisticated. What can I do? I'm a janitor working at a school over in Nantucket. Well, if you're a janitor working at a school in Nantucket, you're just as open to receiving the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit so that you'll have an active presence. You'll have an active assignment while you're doing that work where you are, whether it's praying over, the school that you're working at or the business or whatever. Everybody that will can have a part in what God is doing in this moment. Now, the lines are open. The number to call is 818-369-0326. And if you get there, press 1 on the dial pad if you want to join Pastor Ken and I in this conversation. Pastor Ken, back to you.
You reminded me of one on a retreat that I went on early on. And the moderator said, we are bringing in a special speaker to you today to listen for this. And he introduced the man, and the man happened to be the janitor that we had seen day in and day out, mopping the floors, cleaning the place up, and everything else. And right away, my poor attitude was, what is he going to teach me? And that man got up and gave a talk. By the time he got done, every one of us were on the floor literally crying, because he had touched our hearts so deeply with the Word of God, with his deepness, with his intimacy with Christ, that had us all crying. And I found out later on that that man would spend hours on his off time in the chapel praying to ask God for the wisdom of what he wanted to speak to each and every one of us that day. And when he got done, he didn't wait around for any accolades. He went back in the chapel to thank God that he was able to go ahead and talk to us. That is the kind of bright light that we want to see in the world. And I think each and every one of us want to be able to achieve those kinds of things for Christ. I've been on both sides of the issue on here. I was blind. I was on the dark side. And Christ still gave me the mercy and love that he has to be able to bring me forth to who I am today. And I still have a long way to go. But I keep trying because I know and I've seen that brightness, and I want to excel in the things that he would have me do in this world.
Amen. You know, Pastor Ken, as you're talking, there's an article that came out on Breitbart News today. It's titled, Swarthmore College offers, and I quote, Queering the Bible course with trans reading of Scripture. Listen to this. And this is about the dark mind of man we're talking about. An elite liberal arts college is offering a class called Queering the Bible for the 2018 fall semester, in which it promises to destabilize long-held assumptions about what the Bible says about gender. So according to the course description published in the Swarthmore College catalog, the course will survey queer and trans readings of biblical texts, while introducing students to the complexity of constructions of sex, gender, and identity in one of the most influential literary works produced in ancient times. So the one-credit course taught by Dr. Gwynne Kessler, who has a PhD in rabbinics from Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City, promises to employ the methods of queer and trans theoretical approaches to Bible reading, by which it will destabilize long-held assumptions about what the Bible and religion says about gender and sexuality. So Dr. Kessler says that her work is situated within and suffused with postmodern feminist and queer theoretical approaches. On announcing the hiring of Dr. Kessler in 2009, Swarthmore said she would teach courses on GLBTQ Jewish and Judaism and a seminar on biblical and rabbinic construction of God's gender. Kessler's marriage to Tamara Ruth, so she's a lesbian, Cohen in 2004 merited an announcement in the New York Times section on weddings and celebrations. So there's a lot more here to talk about in the article. Let me just finish up with this. Along with the Queering the Bible, Swarthmore's religious department also offers Queering God, Feminist and Queer Theology, a course that examines feminist and queer writings about God, explores the tensions between feminist and queer theology, and seeks to stretch the limits of gendering and sexing the divine. She said, if we can point out places in traditional writings where God is nurturing, forgiving, and loving, the course description asks, does that mean that God is feminine or female? The Quaker-founded Swarthmore College, located outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, consistently receives top rankings across many indicators of excellence, according to the ever-attentive writers at the college Fix. So, according to U.S. News and World Report, tuition and fees at Swarthmore run to $50,000 per year, and only 13% of the applicants are accepted. So here you have a darkened mind coming, you know, manifesting. Now, all the students that go there, Pastor Ken, can you believe this is the dark theology that has swept our nation? And if we're left to this, everyone's going to drown. It is the mercy of God to get some light back into the situation. Number to call, 818-369-0326. We're waiting for your call because Pastor Ken and I, we could talk forever, can't we, Pastor Ken?
Amen. You know, Pastor, what you're talking about is exactly what the enemy is trying to do, subvert, put in doubts in our minds and areas like that so that we don't have a stronghold on what God is teaching each and every one of us to do on here. I heard one the other day, and I'm treading lightly on here because I didn't get a chance to research this one, but I had heard that the Pope was saying that Jesus sinned. Now, he went back to the time when Jesus was in the temple as a youth teaching the Pharisees, the Sadducees in the temple on there, and his mother and father were looking for him. And when they finally came back and found them on there, the Pope, what he was saying, from what I understood from a small article, was that he disobeyed his parents. As such, he sinned, and he had to go ahead and ask for forgiveness for what he had done to them. Now, that's something that's going to undermine the faith and belief in people, because if Jesus sinned, then he was not the perfect sacrifice. These are the kinds of things that are starting to come out to try and subvert what we know of Jesus, who he is, who he really is, the Son of the living God, all-powerful, almighty, and all things, then was the perfect sacrifice. But these are the kinds of things that are coming out to try and thwart the work of God in the final days.
So then how important is it to have our minds enlightened, so that we may be able to comprehend with all saints the revelation, knowledge, and glory of God? How important is it for you that are listening today to make sure that your mind is illuminated, to have the rays of divine light shining? I mean, people could read this Bible. That's what they're going to do at Swarthmore University. They're going to read the Bible, and they're going to find somewhere in the text to support lesbian, homosexual, transgender activity. But that's not illumination. The Holy Spirit of God, the illumination, the light that God wants to bring into your life and my life is essential right now. It is imperative. We don't read these things and look at these things for hypersensationalism or, you know, look at we're having a religious experience. It is a necessity that you and I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in this hour that we live, and that our minds be fully enlightened by the glory of Scripture and knowledge and the truth of God, because without it, come on, there's going to be a great falling away in these last days. And I, my advocation is not for goosebumps. My advocation is God wants to accelerate his work in the earth, and therefore he's got to do something in us that we'll be able to understand it and move out in the energy and power to be able to do it. And that is in resistance to the powers of darkness that have aligned themselves in this world. You and I know in our present condition, it would be very difficult to press through and to pierce through all the dark dams that have been built up, the resistance of the powers of darkness where they've set themselves. But through a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit an illuminated mind that can direct us through the perfect path to get through, God will do some amazing things. So again, I'm not just, you know, sharing the things that we've been sharing just because, you know, we're bored with something. I believe this is imperative. Pastor Ken, without this baptism that we have been talking about, without this fresh move of God, I think the staleness, the complacency, the lethargy in the people of God will cause them to literally fade away into nothingness, never having accomplished any purpose of God that he had intended for their lives. And I'm just saying right now, let us step out of that kind of environment, understand the mighty forces of darkness that we're about to encounter, and let's get fully equipped so that we could battle and be victorious. Your thoughts?
You're right on. That's what we have to go ahead and do. We have to see the true light of Christ, and the only way we can do that is by having, again, back to the word intimacy with him. So the true light of Christ can shine in our lives, in our minds, in our intellect, in everything that we do. There's no other way. As I said before, I was on both sides, and I know that I want to be on the bright side, on the light side, and serving Christ. And because I'm going to be with him for life afterwards, for the rest of our supernatural lives. And I'm being selfish, but I want to have that kind of life. I don't want to be in darkness and in hell later on. So I'm going to do all that I can to be all that I can be for Christ. And that's what each of us should desire in our lives.
Amen, Pastor Ken. That is the truth. And when we boil this conversation down to its nitty-gritty, it is either deception or truth. And you know that the devil has the power to come as an angel of light. In other words, he can present ideas and thoughts that look good, that look right. Right now, there are people that are looking for answers. They're looking for a true way to travel. And the enemy could prescribe a path that looks good, but it's not. And this is where discernment, this is where the Holy Spirit, this is where the light of truth is to guide us. We need to be guided by something more powerful than ourselves. If we leave ourselves to our own intellect, if we leave ourselves, we're going to be deceived, because the powers of darkness know how to deceive the mind of man when the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ is not present. We are under mercy, we are under grace, and because of it, God is helping us. And I believe for many of us, that's why we're still here, and we're wanting to go further than where we are. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be it for me. We are wrapping things up today. I've got to say goodbye. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy, is going to join the conversation here in just a moment. I'm going to go to a little break. Pastor Ken, thanks for joining me today. As always, it's good to have you on the air with us. And having said that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move forward. Pastor Ken, shalom to you. And God bless. When I come back, it won't be me. It'll be the other side of me. Patricia Joy Xavier. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier. Paul and I want to personally thank you for tuning in and listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. There are four ways you could get involved right away. Number one, pray. Nothing moves mountains like the prayerful support of the saints. Second, help spread the word. Share the URL, omegaradio.org, with your friends on Facebook and through your email. Tell them you're listening like your life depends on it, and they should too. Third, you can partner with us. If this program ministers to you, then click the Donate tab and prayerfully consider a donation to help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. Just go to our Donate tab on the homepage. We thank you in advance, and may God richly bless you.
Do you enjoy listening to The Watchman? It's our goal on each and every show to interpret the latest news and events through a biblical lens, but we're not alone. In fact, we have an army of like-minded radio hosts, ministers, and prophets to better equip you, God's people, to learn and take action when and where it's needed. Click the lineup tab on our homepage to see a full listing of daily programs. Whether it's Rick Wiles on True News or Jay Sekulow with the ACLJ, we work together to bring you Omega Radio Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere in the the world. Please join our effort to help spread the word and support this radio ministry. Send us an email and tell us what's on your mind and how this network is ministering to you. Then call into the Watchman weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time and join the conversation. We want to know what you think. The number to call is 818-369-0326, then hit 1, or go back to omegaradio.org and hit the call-in button, then press 1.
Hello. What an exciting program one more time. Yes, the other side of my husband, but by his side also, that is where I belong. And I am thankful to God for the wonderful understanding that has been presented to all who are listening. I pray, God, that it'll grow in momentum into a crescendo of glory for your life. And also, I want to bring the thought of Christianity to a place where we know and understand the Word of God and the evil spirits that we have been in, well, having combat with. And here's the thing. The word is clear that light will be spoken of as darkness in the last days, and good will be spoken of as evil. So any wonder what we're hearing? And the twisting of the truth in the scriptures is called the Leviathan spirit. And why? Because this huge, enormous spirit twists and turns the truth into a confusion of deception. And so we're coming into that realm, and that's why technology is growing so fast, so quickly, because they're trying to grasp something that would be a basis of power and might to continue the evil work that is going on. Is technology evil in itself? No, but they're using it for a one-world mind, and the mind is not redeemed that they're using. And so God is the true and living mind, the great and mighty mind, the one that created all things, and he's the one that threw Lucifer out of heaven, commanding the angels to make him go. So we are fighting some power here. We have to understand it's great power. I am Patricia Xavier. I'm co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Now, we are in chapter 2, and we have been in there for a while, but we're going to continue to read from scripture to scripture. From sentence to sentence with some words with in the scriptures. And I wanted us to go back to yesterday and what we talked about. We talked about angels on assignment. Well, you can imagine how they are being assigned now. They are working constantly, and they're working all the time on behalf of his people. These angels on assignment are good angels. They're not evil angels. And we have to understand the workings of the way these angels move and have their way in our lives. We must know that we have multitudes of holy angels working on our behalf. And we talked about that too, which gives us a sense of, oh, I believe peace and security to know that there are angels, mighty warring angels, that are protecting us, and angels that are ministering unto the heirs of salvation. And there are many, many more holy angels of God working for us than Satan has of unholy fallen angels working against us. You know, it's almost uneven in a way. And so we benefit. We benefit credibly, and God's angels are diligently working and ministering to those who are the heirs of salvation through the saving blood of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to become an heir. And how do you do that? By receiving Jesus Christ into your heart as your master, your Lord, and your altogether God. It's wonderful. And this is good news. It should be a great delight to all our hearts to hear it. And we should rejoice continually and thank Jesus for having his angels work in such wondrous ways for us. You know, there are reports I hear constantly about people who have recognized angels, have seen angels, who have felt angels, who have been involved with angels. And they can appear in human form. And there are incidences in Genesis of the three angels who talked with Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah. They came as men. They were as men. And so you see, they do come in another form if necessary. And you may be involved with angels, and you may be involved with personalities of such that you're not even aware of. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels, and they're doing it without knowing it. So there are angels, and these angels sometimes come to us as strangers, perhaps somebody that comes in our path at a certain time when we are in need of help and we don't know it. And it's a person, but that person is being shown to the spiritual world as an angel. So please realize that there are multitudes of angels in spirit form and sometimes in forms of men. And it's wonderful. It's glorious. And when we begin to understand these wonderful works of God, we feel so much more confident that we could go on with the warfare that God has called us to. Now, as God's church, we have, for the most part, remained in total ignorance, for the most part. But God is revealing mysteries right now. And it is something of a promise that he gave us in Daniel. In that time, he said he would. And what time is that? That time is now. It seems as if no one wants to talk about the vital knowledge that God has given us and wanting to reveal to us, because we're afraid that we may come into error, believe a lie, and I understand that. But we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and show us what is a lie and what is not a lie. The Holy Spirit is a person that works with us to do so, but we have to invite him in, and we have to keep him happy. In what way? It grieves him when we sin, and he'll depart for a while. But when we ask God for forgiveness, Holy Spirit comes back in to be part of our lives, to be part of the glory that God has granted us. And many of us have casually acknowledged that one-third of all angels created by God fell with Satan. We don't talk about it enough. We're not expressing our heart enough regarding these things. And I want to do that. Many of us believe that their avowed purpose is to deceive and destroy the body of Christ on earth. And many of us know that the Father has ordained with his power 2/3 of all the angels he created to protect us 24 hours a day. We have them there. You're not alone. I suspect that if we knew on any given day the number of fiery flames of hell shot at us by the fallen angels of Satan, and the number of times those fiery darts were extinguished by the angels of God, we would all be in a greater state of praise to our Father than we are at this present time. And we need to keep in mind these things and not let them be bogged down by concerns and worries of this world. The Word of God tells us that. And each one of us can recall numerous times we have escaped from difficulty and truly did not know how we escaped. I suggest we look to God and say, thank you, Father, for your loving care through your angels. I remember a time myself when I was walking in Mexico City and I was ready to step down onto the street. My foot was heading down, and at that very moment, a car turned down the corner and literally brushed my dress. And as it was happening, I was back on the curb. I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it was coming. But something of a spiritual realm brought me back to where I belonged. And it was with ease that it happened. It was with such ease that I was amazed I was back on the curb. What happened there? I didn't see that car coming, but I believe with all my heart an angel came and lifted me at that very moment. And I'm sure if you really consider the things that have happened in your life, you too will see incredible works that you didn't realize were works of angels. And when we go to stand before our Father in heaven, much is going to be revealed of this nature. And we're going to see the times past where we have been so protected and have not realized our protection. And as we learn about these things, as we learn about the power that we have been granted, we could begin to do warfare. And in time, to understand and learn warfare against the evil spirits, because multitudes of people are going to be carrying these evil spirits. And rather than being taken and martyred and destroyed, we will begin to fence with the word of God and understand the power we have been granted. And when we speak in the name of Jesus, demons will flee and the person will be left without armor. Oh my goodness. Those that would have a desire to come against us in any way would be found incapable of doing so. He's raising up an army in his last days to do that very thing. And we haven't been taught enough about this. We have been taught about martyrism. And it's a wonderful, great, and incredible thing that people stand against evil to the point of death. And God honors it in such a great and mighty way when they are visited with him in heaven. And it will be a crown of glory upon their heads forever and ever and ever. And all who are in heaven will see it in that heavenly realm, will see and witness these glorious people who have done such a wonderful work. But in the last days, he desires an army to rise up and take the evil forces by force and destroy their work, which has already been done on the cross, but we execute the judgment that is necessary. And body of Christ, that is a true army, the real army. All other armies on earth have been imitating what has been from the very onslaught of this world's war. Now, can you now visualize the spiritual realm? Can you see these billions, possibly trillions, of spiritual beings, the angels of God working for you, working on your behalf? Since the fall, they have been quietly working, but now they are engaging in a greater and more mighty way, for God has given permission for them to do so. He has released them to do so. These obedient beings move and act according to the word of God. The more you speak and know the word of God, the greater the power to war against the evil becomes. It is so. His word will be obeyed. So if we say, in the name of Jesus, I call forth protection over a certain situation, the angels go to work immediately, carrying forth your command through Jesus to its conclusion in accordance with the word of God. The word of God is the power released for the angels to move on our behalf. They hear, they listen, and they go to war. It's glorious and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. So the sword of the Spirit is the word of God coming out through your mouth as great light to give commandments to these angels to work in whatever that word, whatever the word you are speaking from the Bible is commanding. And these are the promises of God. He has given us. You speak them. You command them because they are light. And the angels go to work immediately. Therefore, our job is to proclaim the promises of God that we have received through his word. Then the angels will go forth and work on our behalf. Think about it. Can you envision it? Is beyond anything any movie about technology has made, any movie that Star Wars production has presented to people to come and watch in theater. It is beyond the fondest imagination of producers and directors, believe me. It behooves us to watch what we say for that reason, because as we speak, the angels will work if it is the word of God that we are speaking, not worldly gibberish and intellectual hogwash, but the word of God, divine wisdom. We must speak only God's promises rather than doubt and fear of Satan's deceptions. People who talk negatively day in and day out about their problems, about their terrible pain and agony of their physical bodies and what they are suffering, or their unbelievable hurt through their family members or through others, and they can't stop talking about it. Believe me, they are in bondage to the work of the enemy. Satan is talking through them over and over again. And power, there is power of life and death in the tongue. And we are killing our lives by our tongue of negativity. But speaking the truth in the word of God, we are building our lives. We are bringing healing to our relationships, healing to our physical bodies, healing to our minds and spirit. We need to understand this so clearly. And of course, this will take extensive retraining of our soul realm as we receive knowledge through this study and begin applying ourselves by putting God's word into action. Our victory march into life will truly begin. And it isn't hard. It isn't difficult. Love God with all your heart. Begin to believe in his promises and in his word. Begin to speak them and begin to see the victory as the angels go to work on your behalf and against evil forces. It isn't difficult. It is only believing. It is only believing with a heart that won't be questioned as to doubt. Come on, body of Christ. It can happen now. It can happen as we unify in the truth, in the word of God, and in its power to overcome. Ignited by the Holy Spirit, it can happen because it's already been granted. Please know this. The price has been paid on the cross. Paid for you and I. The blood has been shed on the cross. Our transgressions have been forgiven. Our iniquity has been pardoned, and we have been given the peace of God that passes all understanding, for he also took the chastisement of our peace upon himself, according to scripture. And by his stripes that he had on his back, in the blood that he shed, we are healed. It's a promise. It's a given promise. Now, if you have a situation or problem at home, at work, or within your relationships that persists in plaguing you, you will find an evil agent at work. This is what you're looking at. A devil assigned to that particular situation. You might be especially aware of this and consider it only as a temporary stumbling block that must be removed. And remember, the devil's spirits have been purposely assigned to hold you back from wholeness of life. So if you find yourself in a situation or a problem at home, and you've done everything you know to do, or it's at work, or it's in your relationships, and it's persistent, and it plagues you, know that you have an evil agent at work, a devil that's assigned to that particular situation. Realize it. Just don't be in self-pity and woe is me. No, it's war. That the enemy is trying to come against you. The enemy has been assigned to come against you. And be especially aware of this so that you don't get into depression or oppression. And consider it only as a temporary stumbling block that must be removed and will be removed as you go to war, as you speak the promises of God, as you rebuke and understand that enemy and who he is. Know it by discernment of spirit. You will, and you'll bind that enemy. You'll rebuke that enemy that's using that individual in the workplace, at home, wherever it may be, in school. And you will cast it out in the name of Jesus Christ against your life. And that person will be set free. You don't have to do it in front of them. You could go into a quiet place. It's spiritual work. But if need be that you do it in front of them, then do so. Ask God for the boldness that is necessary. And it will be. And it will take root. And it will work. Remember that the devil's spirits have been purposely assigned to hold you back from wholeness of life, the joy of life, the abundant life that we have been granted. Be not afraid. Know who you serve. You serve the living God who is all-powerful, almighty, all-loving, all-caring for your life. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are his loved one. You are his bride. All in all, loved and considered greatly by him in every way imaginable. The worst of us even do that with our own children. How much more our Heavenly Father will do it with his. Please understand that he is so absolutely caring for us. He absolutely has so forgiven anything that you have done wrong against him. And he's given you an advocate, a lawyer to work on your behalf when he came to this earth as Jesus Christ. There is so much that we have not realized or even understood. So any situation or problem at home or work or in relationships that persist and they plague you, please realize who you are. Take the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth, and be shed with the gospel upon your feet and go to war. You are totally armored. You are totally able to destroy the works of the enemy around and about your life and any others that you care about. And you can teach them the same. And they too can grow as warriors, mighty sons and daughters of the living God. And as mentioned earlier, we have been warned that Satan comes. We know our enemy. We understand our enemy. So many times we have wondered why things happen to us. Well, it's clear. We have been warned that Satan comes in the scriptures to steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal whatever you allow him through your sinfulness. That's why put away your sin. Overcome your sin. God has given you every ability to do so in the Holy Spirit. You have won through him. You have overcome already through him. If you would only believe, he has done it for you. He has paid the price. He has laid his life down so that you can do mighty warfare in these days that are so needed for mighty warfare from the Christian body, from the Church of God, victorious, the light on the hill to show the truth to the multitudes that are in darkness. There are multitudes of ways you will go to war and multitudes of way that you will win this war. The book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that I wrote will show you, will continue to teach you. That's why I'm reading from it at this moment, that we may be alert to what is the darkness and alert to the great light in which we have been given. Our light has come, and the darkness is being dispersed where we walk. Everywhere your feet goes is blessed, according to the word of God. Everything you put your hand to is blessed, according to the word of God, if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you permit Satan, he will steal your joy. He will steal your emotions. He will use your emotions against you. He will use your emotions against those around and about you, where they will think lowly of you. They will see that you have no self-control, and they will persecute you. They will make fun of you, put you down in multitudes of ways, criticize you in multitudes of ways. But if your emotions are in check, because the power of God is in you, not to take offense, but to realize who you are, that the only one that can bring any accusation against you is the Lord God himself. No devil, no demon, no human being. Paul the Apostle made this clear. It is only the Lord that could accuse me and no other. And if you realize and judgment comes to your very self to look and to study, and see that accusations are warranted and you know they're not, you can rise up in your emotions and handle them beautifully. You have the victory. It won't take psychological concepts and ideas to do it, hoping that you can. You will know. You will understand, because the greatness of God's Spirit is moving in you, and it has total and complete control over your emotions. And also, he came to steal your finances. And if you find yourself in dire need financially, I would suggest to you to give, to tithe, to any church you're going to. The word of God again promises that when you tithe, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing you cannot contain it. And what is a tithe? 10% of your income, your gross income. He will do this because you are honoring his word, and his word says to do so. And many say, well, that's Old Testament, but they'll use every other scripture in Old Testament except that one, because they don't want to give and they're afraid to give because they have not faith. But it was even before Moses's law that the tithe was an example in the scriptures to do. And if you do so, and if you give your tithe to the church you are going to, God will open that window of heaven and he will pour out a blessing. I know he's done it for me, and he's done it for everyone who has ever believed in the tithe. He has done it, and he has blessed them abundantly. I'll tell you, body of Christ, don't turn your head against this, because it'll show you have a lack of faith and you will have finances stolen from you. I can guarantee it, because Satan knows your shortcoming. He understands. He watches you. He has been assigned by familiar spirits from generation to generation to do that very thing. And by the way, do ask forgiveness for your forefathers. Do ask forgiveness for this world and its condition. Do ask forgiveness, because if you're of the church, we have failed. ask forgiveness that we have allowed the things we have allowed into our country, into this world, and into the earth. I ask you to do so. Others have in Scripture. They have been called to do so, and God honored it. I ask that you would do so also. God will listen, God will hear, and he'll raise up a mighty army. Oh, God bless all that have been listening. Remember, please, that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Until tomorrow.